27. The first to appear were the cameras, multiple identical video cameras set up on tripods in all four corners of the room. The next thing Philip saw materialize was Brit. Not Brit the younger, or Brit the much elder, but another Brit. A new Brit. He made eye contact with her, noted the look on her face, and immediately christened her Angry Brit. She appeared in the corner, her skin pale from lack of sun, with deep bags under her eyes. She stood next to one of the cameras with a notebook and a pencil in hand. A large boombox sat at her feet. Philip had just enough time to moan before Martin, a second, presumably later Martin, appeared, standing in the conversation pit directly in front of where the current Martin sat. Across the way, later iterations of Tyler, Jeff, and Roy materialized, standing in front of and looming menacingly over their current copies. Up near the kitchen, a second Gary appeared directly behind the current Gary. The new Gary tapped the pre-existing Gary on the right shoulder. As current Gary turned to see who it was, the new Gary ducked and sidestepped to the left, leaving the current Gary looking at an empty space with a confused look on his face. Over at the table, a new Gwen arrived, sitting calmly across the table from the current Gwen. The new Gwen said,
"Hello." "Hi," Gwen replied.
Brit the younger and Brit the much elder noted all of the new arrivals, looking over at the third copy of themselves with a notebook, cameras, and boombox, and leaned back as if preparing to watch a show. Martin tried to stand up, but the new Martin poked him in the forehead, throwing off his balance and causing him to fall back into the couch.
"Hey! What the hell, man?"
"You just stay put, Junior," the new Martin said.
Martin asked, "What do you want?"
the second Martin asked, finishing his thought for him.
"You want to know what we want, Martin? Philip. We want Philip."
Martin glanced at Philip, who was still seated on the sofa next to him.
"Our Philip. We want you to let go of the Philip who's let himself go."
From the far corner of the room, future Philip shouted,
"Thanks for that."
Gary looked at the floor and whined,
"Shoes, guys. You know shoes aren't allowed in my new place."
The other Gary said,
"It's cool. I told them I was rescinding that rule. You could have talked to me about it first." "That's what I'm doing right now."
Gary shook his head.
"Wait, what?" "I know, it's confusing. Brit had to explain it to me. You see..."
Future Martin shouted,
"Gary's! Cool it for a second, okay?"
Both Gary's fell silent. Future Martin looked down at Martin and continued,
"We want our Philip back. He's our friend. You kidnapped him. We're here to rescue him."
Future Tyler added,
"By force, if necessary."
Future Roy said,
"And it will be."
Martin sputtered,
"Why? If, look, I only took him because I know why you took him,"
future Martin said.
"I was there. I was you. I just thought, no, you didn't. You never did. It's one of the things I dislike most about you. But I'm, yes, you're me. That doesn't mean I can't dislike you."
Future Philip said,
"Quite the opposite."
Martin said,
"I just want him to tell us," future Martin said, "how to fix things. I know. And he's not going to."
Martin growled,
"Will you please stop interrupting you?" "No, I won't. Now release our Philip or things will turn ugly."
Martin rolled his eyes.
"Look, I'd be happy to. Just tell us how to fix things." "No, we gave you a chance to do this the easy way." "Ugliness it shall be!"
Future Martin nodded at the Brit with the cameras, who reached down and pressed the play button on the boombox. The future iterations of Martin, Tyler, Jeff, Roy, and Gary all leapt into the air. They floated unnaturally out of the conversation pit, landing back to back in a tight cluster, brandishing their staffs and wands, ready to fight. The boombox emitted a sound like a warped recording of a roller rink organ repeating on a loop. Over that, a female voice with a difficult-to-place accent repeated,
"We are going to dance,"
three times, before concluding,
"and have some fun."
Martin scrunched his face at the Brit with a boombox.
"I think I know that song. Is that Groove Is in the Heart?"
She said nothing, scribbling furiously in her notebook. The music gave way to a bass guitar and bongo drums. Martin nodded.
"Yeah, totally Groove Is in the Heart."
The five wizards from the future all tapped their feet, or nodded slightly in time with the music. Future Tyler's staff transformed into a fencing rapier. Future Gary saw this, said,
"Oh yeah,"
and his own staff became a samurai sword. Future Tyler muttered,
"No originality."
Future Martin shouted,
"One, two, three, four!"
Everyone ran forward to attack their earlier iteration. The current wizard stood, dumbstruck for a moment. then all reacted to the aggression by fleeing. For a moment, Gary's great room played host to a chaotic scene of people running in every direction, shouting either threats or alarmed cries over the throbbing bass line and bongo drums being laid down by D-Light. Martin ran 2 full laps of the conversation pit, future Martin hot on his heels.
"We don't have to fight!"
Martin shouted back over his shoulder.
"Yes, we do!"
future Martin said.
"Why?" "Because we already did. When we were you, they, you know, them, the other us, leapt straight into fighting and wouldn't back down no matter what we said. So now that we're them, it's your turn to be us. And brother, it's gonna suck."
Martin stopped running laps of the fire pit, straightened his trajectory, and charted a course along the length of the room. He had to sidestep around future Tyler, who was standing facing current Tyler, both holding fencing rapiers. As he juked around behind future Tyler, Martin heard him saying,
3, 4. 1, 2.
Martin got into the open, feinted to the left, then lunged right and swung his staff low, hoping to catch his future self in the shins. Future Martin leapt as gracefully as a hurdler, without the slightest hint of hesitation or surprise, muttering,
"Jump, 2, 3.
Future Martin landed on his feet, performed a well-practiced dive roll, and came up facing Martin. He pointed his staff forward and said,
"Mummenschanz Alpha!"
loudly, following under his breath with,
2, 3, 4.
Martin felt a wind stronger than any he'd ever experienced. He leaned far forward, momentarily touching his hands to the floor in front of him. His feet got precious little traction on Gary's shag carpeting. Martin slid back several feet, struggling to maintain his balance and gain some sort of purchase. He shielded his face with his forearms and managed a couple of steps forward. He looked to the side and saw the two Tylers stepping lightly forward and back with no effort. As future Tyler deftly brushed off an attack, Martin heard him say,
"Parry, spin, jump."
The momentum of his sword hand carried him through a quick pirouette on his left foot. Then he hopped up onto the end of the table.
"Don't try,"
he said, looking down at Tyler.
"I have the high ground."
Tyler swung his rapier at future Tyler's ankles, but future Tyler leapt over the blade as casually as a child skipping rope, muttering,
"Jump, and 3, and 4, and 1.
The distraction of watching the Tylers not struggle with the wind caused Martin to lose focus and get blown back several feet. He put his hands down again to stop his slide and looked up, the wind stinging his eyes, at the other Martin, who stood at the far end of the room, bobbing his head to the music, looking pleased with himself.
"I decided to build on the mime theme," the new Martin said, "since you were so happy with your invisible box. I hope you're enjoying walking into your own private wind. And yes, I know how weird that sounded."
Grabbing the leg of the oversized table to anchor himself, Martin managed to work his way back up to his feet. Future Tyler leapt off of the tabletop and out of Martin's field of vision. Martin let go of his staff to free up both of his hands. The staff blew back behind him, then lost all speed before it had traveled a foot, and fell straight down to the floor where it lay motionless next to the spot where Martin continued struggling with the wind. He pulled himself hand over hand along the side of the table. As he reached the computers, he noted that Gwen was still seated, her hands resting on the table in front of her, talking to future Gwen. Gwen asked, "Why aren't we..." Predictably, future Gwen finished her sentence, "fighting?"
"Because we didn't fight to begin with. There's really no point. In general, I find that women need a reason to fight. Men need a reason not to."
Martin hunkered down, back on all fours, and made an effort to push himself away from the table into the open to cast some sort of counterspell. Future Martin said,
"Mummenschanz, bravo!"
The wind pushing against Martin suddenly stopped. He fell forward, landing primarily on his face, as some unseen force pulled his hands back behind him, preventing them from helping him catch his fall. Because he was tilted forward at such an acute angle, and his hands were drawn behind him, their most natural path was to extend behind and beneath him, passing back between his own legs. The right hand felt drawn to the far wall of the room, away from future Martin. The left felt less of a pull, but was utterly incapable of straying further than a foot from the right. Whatever was pulling on Martin, it yanked him across the floor like a dog dragging its rear on the carpet, only his position was reversed, with his face scraping against the floor and his rear end sticking up in the air, leading the way. The pull on Martin's hands continued, but his feet gained just enough traction to stop moving. Of course, with his hands moving and his feet remaining still, the result was a few seconds spent in an uncomfortable, undignified position. Then his lower body flipped up over his center of gravity, and Martin essentially body slammed himself. He slid on his back, hands first, across the carpet and to the far wall. Martin lay there for a moment,
seeing the room and all of the chaos it held with the sort of clarity a person only experiences when he or she is deeply confused. He saw Philip, standing and looking down at future Philip. Future Philip was shaking his head no. It was possible that Philip had asked him a question, or it was just meant as a general commentary on how things were going. "Groove is in the heart," continued. Lady Miss Keir saying something about her succotash wish, which made as much sense to Martin as anything else that was happening at the moment. Jeff stood at the far end of the conversation pit. Future Jeff stood near, with his back to Martin. Both of them shot powerful-looking beams of light from one of their hands, which met in the middle in a point as bright as a welder's torch. Future Jeff's left foot was tapping in time to the music, and he was saying, 3, 4, right, 2, 3, 4. As he said right, he extended his right hand and shot some sort of beam, perfectly anticipating and blocking a magical attack from Jeff. The earlier spells dissipated as the new spells gained intensity and created a new bright spot in the space above the conversation pit. Future Jeff said, 2, 3, right, and shot another beam, which again completely blocked an attempted sneak attack from Jeff. Martin pressed his feet against the wall and hauled back on his hands with all of his strength. He managed to gain a few feet of clearance between his right hand and the wall. His feet again slipped in the thick carpet, sending him back to the floor. Future Martin remained standing at the far end of the room, smiling like a jackass. Martin struggled upright and managed to take several labored backward steps away from the wall, his hands held at waist height, pulling against the invisible force drawing them to the wall. Out of the corner of his eye, Martin caught sight of Britt the Younger and Britt the Much Elder, both of whom had made their way over to where the Brit with the notebook and boombox sat.
Good, he thought. Go get her, ladies. She's clearly in charge. Cut off the head and the body will die.
Brit the Younger said, You ended up going with background music, eh? The Brit with the notebook said, Yeah, for a big complex thing like this with multiple people, it's just the easiest way to keep track of the timing. We tried a click track, but the guys kept losing their place. Brit the Much Elder said, Why didn't you go with a song that's, I don't know, fightier than Groove is in the Heart? I thought about Ballroom Blitz, but you need something with a good dance beat, and during rehearsal you hear the song like 1,000 times. You need it to be something fun. Also, this song's the right length. Martin labored his way backward across the room, dragging his heavy load of nothing behind him. He looked over his shoulder at future Martin just in time to watch him spread his arms wide and shout,
Mom and Shots, Charlie!
All of the resistance released from Martin's hands, sending him to the ground with great force. His butt hit the carpet and he rolled onto his back. He would have simply sprawled out on the floor like a rag doll, but his head and neck struck an invisible barrier. Momentum carried his legs back, and for a moment he lay there on the floor, head and legs raised in an undignified crunch, until his legs finally came back down to the ground. Martin performed another crunch, while attempting to lift himself from the ground, rolled to one side, then sprung to his feet. He felt the invisible barrier with his hands. It seemed flat and featureless until his left hand felt the doorknob. Martin smiled, turned the invisible knob, and pushed. Nothing happened. Future Martin said, Try pulling! Martin pulled the invisible door open easily. He went through the door, took 2 steps, and ran into a second door. He found the knob, pulled, and nothing happened. Future Martin said, This one you push.
Oh, relax, Martin. Someday you'll find this funny. This day, the one I'm experiencing right now.
Martin lifted his hands to cast a spell at Future Martin, but stopped short as Gary sprinted between them, an oversized broadsword in his hands. He slowed slightly and raised his sword just in time to block a powerful overhand blow from Future Gary, who had the same sword. As the two blades met, a deafening clang sounded, drowning out the song right as Lady Miss Keir suggested that DJ's soul was both de-lovely and delicious. Sparks shot from between the blades as they struck. Future Gary continued pressing forward with his blade. Gary held it back with his own, sliding backward under the force of Future Gary's attack.
Hard to get traction, Future Gary said. With only socks on.
Gary took 2 halting steps backward until he ran into the side of the table. They stood there, pressing their swords against each other with all their might. Future Gary mumbled,
2, 3, 4, grind, 2, 3.
Future Gary maintained the forward pressure as he slid his blade along the edge of Gary's. A shower of sparks cascaded down from the point where the blades met, bouncing off the table and burning small holes in the carpet.
As soon as their blades were unencumbered, Gary let out a great, inarticulate shout of aggression and took a long, slow, powerful swing at Future Gary's side. Future Gary's sword was there to block almost before Gary started the swing. As the blade struck and a fresh shower of sparks fell, Future Gary let out his own consonant-free shout of rage. He lifted his sword sideways over his head and took 3 steps back, again passing between the two Martins as Gary shouted and rained down multiple crushing blows with his sword, none of which connected with anything but his enemy's sword, nor produced anything but noise and sparks. As another blow came down, Future Gary stepped to the side. Gary's sword swung through empty space and hit the floor, cutting a large hole in the carpet. He lurched forward, trying to keep his balance. His shout changed from angry to confused mid-bellow. He spun to defend against any coming attacks from his enemy. Tyler stepped into view, moving backward, bouncing on the balls of his feet, his fencing rapier a blur, pouring all of his concentration into fighting off Future Tyler's attacks, and walked backward into Gary's back. Future Tyler pursued Tyler, muttering,
"Left, another, uppercut, feint, right, lunge."
Future Gary opened his mouth, allowing an assortment of vowel sounds mixed with flecks of spittle to come out, and swung his sword as hard as he could at Gary, who barely managed to block it in time. Tyler cringed at the sparks bouncing off of his head and neck.
"Gary, trust you to rob swordplay of all its style?"
"What do you mean?"
Gary asked between blocking blows.
"This has tons of style."
"It's brutish."
"Brutishness is a style. It's better than tap dancing around, tapping your swords together like fancy lads."
"That's not what we're doing."
Future Tyler stepped back, stood up straight, swished his sword through the air several times in a figure eight pattern and shouted,
"On guard."
Gary said,
"Whatever. I just hope you've studied your Agrippa."
Martin turned to Future Martin, and instead of casting a spell, he simply asked,
"Why are we fighting?"
Future Martin interrupted,
"Because we fight! Back when we were you, a bunch of us showed up at this point and fought us. So now that we're them, we had to come back and fight you, who we were back then, at this point. And also because it keeps you all busy while that happens."
Future Martin pointed toward the computers. At first, Martin thought he was pointing out Roy, who had worked his way into the back corner behind the table, attempting to punch his future doppelganger in the face, a pair of magical glowing brass knuckles on his hand. None of his punches landed, as future Roy kept deftly stepping out of the way in an overly graceful dance-like step, sarcastically counting to 4 in time with the music. Martin got so carried away watching the Roys that he nearly didn't notice yet another Brit materialize in front of the computers. He looked over by the boombox and saw Brit the Younger and Brit the Much Elder both still asking the note-taking future Brit questions. Brit the Elder remained floating in the air, immobile and disturbingly glitched out. The new Brit looked profoundly tired. She glanced around the room, shook her head in dismissive disgust, and sat down at one of the computers. Both Gwens watched as she plugged a flash drive into the computer's front and started manipulating the mouse. Martin asked,
"Is she?"
Future Martin said,
"Fixing Brit the Elder?"
"Yes."
Martin said,
"So this is all over? Not until after?"
Future Martin cocked an ear, listening to the song. He waited 3 or 4 seconds, 1 finger sticking up in the air. As the rap break featuring Q-Tip started, Future Martin said,
"This happens."
As if on cue, the front door burst open.